NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. If approved, applications are typically funded the next business day or sooner. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
Welcome in, everyone, to another live edition of 410 Sports Talk. I'm Glenn Martin here with my co-host James Haskell and Brad and DK in the back helping us out. We got a big, exciting show for you today. We got one of the newer members of the Baltimore Ravens joining us here shortly, and we're going to start off by talking some Ravens Rushmore talk. But Jimbo, before we get started, who is this show brought to us by?
Yeah, so this show is brought to us by Bet Online. Of course, your number one source for all sports betting needs this season. Look, baseball, golf, soccer right now, all the top fights, UFC, MMA, and boxing. Boxing's been a lot of fun this year. MMA's been a lot of fun. So make sure you go in and check it out. Every stat, every matchup, and every live odds, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played, which I think is really cool because things change in an instant. Look, if a pitcher gets caught with an illegal substance, the odds might change.
That's right.
So let's update them odds, baby. When the game's over, head over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack, poker, unwind with one of our 150 slot games. Head to the website, of course, and get into the action. But make sure when you do, use the promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Go check it out. Bet online. The game starts here.
Yes, sir. It certainly does. And Jimbo, while we wait for Tez to join us here, I got to start with the talk that's been surrounding social media and kind of making its rounds. And that was, the Ravens Mount Rushmore of players. And of course, that means four players in the history that make the Mount Rushmore. And so just to give you a quick glimpse, the original article had Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, Jonathan Ogden, and Lamar Jackson as the four members of the Ravens Mount Rushmore. Many people have commented their own Rushmore and brought in guys, different guys. But I'll say this. I haven't seen a single one, Jimbo, that didn't have Ray Lewis and Ed Reed. So I think we can pencil them too. And we'll put them on the left side of our Mount Rushmore. But my question to you, Jimbo, is who are you putting on the right side? And what makes them a Rushmore member? Do they have to be retired? Do they have to, what's your qualifications to be a Rushmore guy?
So DK did bring up a good point. We were talking about this in the pregame, in the show prep. And I understand his point about them having to be retired. That's not part of my requirements.
Okay.
Because, if you're there, you're just there. I don't know. That's just, but all that being said, so you already penned them in. Not penciled these bad boys.
They're chiseled in.
They're etched in stone, baby.
Yeah. They're not going
to no, dude, the third guy, the third leg to that stool, as far as the guys that are, to me, etched in stone, has to be J.O. because he is probably and certainly in the argument as the best left tackle of all time.
Yeah.
Didn't
play for a single other team.
Yeah, I mean, the Ravens' first draft pick as the Baltimore Ravens. Remember, he held up the jacket?
That's right. Didn't even have, the hats yet made.
Right, yeah. So I think J.O., while not a sexy pick.
Mm-hmm. Does he have to go in?
He has to. He has to. He's such an important member of this team's foundation and Super Bowl winner, Hall of Famer, first ballot Hall of Famer, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Were all three of those guys first ballots? Ed was the first ballot?
All three. Yep.
Yeah, first ballot. So it's not even one has the edge over another. Jeez, dude, Ozzy has been in his bag, bro. It's just ridiculous. Mm-hmm. My goodness. But where are you going with number? I don't know. Where are you going with number three? Am I crazy? Do you have J.O. in there?
I mean, it's hard. The reason it's hard for me to put him in there only because he's just not. He wasn't the personality that the other three were.
You don't like his commercials?
I mean, no, his commercials were pretty funny. His commercials, I'll give him that. But, Ray Lewis is more than just what he was on the field. He was so much more. And all the fact that he was the last one introduced and he was the guy, he's the guy leading the pregame speeches. I mean, Ed, no matter what, what Ed's bringing to the table more than just a player. But to me, a guy I have to have on my list is Terrell Suggs. I got to have Terrell Suggs on my list. Now, does that mean J.O.'s off? I could probably squeeze both those guys on here, but somewhere on this list is got to be Terrell Suggs. That guy, first of all, when Ray Lewis retired, who was the last guy to be introduced? It was Terrell Suggs. Who was walking out in Pittsburgh with the Bane mask pissing off every fan in Pittsburgh? That was Terrell Suggs. That was that guy. And you can't tell me he doesn't deserve it from what he did on the field. I mean, over, what was he at, 29,
something like that. Yeah, something sacks, ridiculous. Like,
anywhere over 100, you're a guaranteed Hall of Famer. He's going to be a slam dunk, first ballot, no doubt about it, Hall of Famer. He won Defensive Player of the Year. He's won a Super Bowl.
Does he give you any knock, though, that he went and played for other – you know, does he get any points
Ed
against
played.
Him?
Ed Reed played on different teams.
Yeah, but he didn't win a Super Bowl with another team.
He tried.
He just went to the wrong teams.
He just picked the wrong team, my man. I'm just saying, if we're going to knock Tim for that, we got to knock Ed for that. Because then it's just Ray and J.O.
Well, the difference, though, the difference is that I think Ed is clearly of, like, actually all four. I think this is fair to say. This might be blasphemous, but I think Ed is most clearly the best at his position of the four.
I don't know about that.
I think that. Because I think there are other people that would give you other arguments for Ray. People give you other arguments for J.O. And obviously for
Suggs. They give plenty of different ones for Ed Reed. They say Ronnie Lott. They say,
for me, forget about it, dude. You watch Bill Belichick get a boner over watching Ed Reed tape. He's the best safety of all time. Sorry. It just is what it is.
Yeah, but who's the argument for Ray?
I'm just saying that other people will put other guys in there. I mean, yeah. I don't know. Like... I can't even think of some names right now, but
I'm just saying, I mean, there's no way.
Give some old, you know, give some names. And I feel like, you know, people bring up Junior Seau, people bring up other guys, and obviously that has to do with their affinities as well. But I just think Ed is the lone wolf, dude.
I mean, I'm an Ed guy, but I'm just saying, I don't know. I think, okay, so you got to have Ray, you got to have Ed. I'll give you Ogden.
And so your fourth lock is Suggs.
Yeah, because I've heard Justin Tucker. I'm not doing it. I'm not putting in my four. And I know he's a unique guy in the, you know,
and he'll
he's charismatic.
He's
the GOAT.
And, you know, and of himself. Exactly. And he'll go down as the best kicker of all time. So some of the same arguments exist between him and J.O., right? Like, not a sexy pick, but.
But at least J.O. was a full-time football player.
Right?
Like, kickers aren't full-time football players, but. I give them more, you know, I give them more praise than a lot of people because there's maybe no position that's more pressure packed for just that moment than being a kicker. So I give them credit there because they perform under the most unbelievable amount of pressure. There's no teammate you can lean on in that moment. It's you kicking the ball through those uprights. So I give them no credit, but you can't compare a kicker to a full-time left tackle.
No, in my opinion. No, I agree. And DK and Brad are bringing up some names in the chat. Patrick Willis, Brian Urlacher.
Yeah, who's the big Butkus. Guy? Dick Butkus. Yes, that's who. But he only played for like 6 or 8 years because you couldn't play for much
play
longer.
At that level of physicality back then.
You
just like couldn't. That.
So you know? It's like, I don't know. For me, it's Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, J.O., and Terrell Suggs, which means there's three of the four defensive. So where does Joe factor in for you? Anywhere? Is he on the list? Is he complete?
He's there. The reason that Joe is in the conversation free for the fourth one is because to this day his playoff run was historical.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And think of the statistics. Not only the statistics, this wasn't like a Celtics injury ridden ride to the championship. Right? Like this was Andrew Luck when Andrew Luck was rising at home. And then he goes on the road, beats Peyton Manning, excuse me. On the road, beats Tom Brady, takes down an absolutely dynamic Colin Kaepernick at that point in his career. So, and, you know, 11 touchdowns, no interceptions. You got to count all those things, but I think he's still off my list.
Is it because he played for the Browns?
No. No, it's not. I think that it's real early, but, I just think that I would be full. I think I would be looked at on the wrong side of history if I didn't say it now. In 10 years, there's no way Lamar Jackson is not on the Mount Rushmore. And I'm just putting him there early.
Who's your first off? If you agree that Lewis, Reed, Ogden, and Suggs are the four, who's the first off?
Suggs is off. And I hate doing it. I hate doing it. Trust me. I hate doing it.
Yeah.
But I just can't take the other three off. And I also can't leave Lamar off because he's already a two-time MVP. And I think Lamar Jackson, from a football standpoint, has just changed football.
Yeah.
Like, he's so impactful. And, like, I know people say all this stuff about Lamar in the playoffs, this, that, and the other, whatever. This is the way I see it. I mean, I think you agree with me. Every single year that Lamar's been in the playoffs, we've gotten further in the playoffs. Everyone's like, he doesn't do anything in the playoffs. He's only had two playoff wins. Well, every single year we go further in the playoffs. He's continuing to improve. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Lamar is just ridiculous. The way that he's changed the game. It would be like the Sixers leaving Allen Iverson off of their Mount Rushmore.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
All right, but you have to qualify it. It would be like them leaving off his Mount Rushmore in year six of his career, not when his career was over.
He should have been on the Mount Rushmore after he crossed Jordan. It was over. Like, it was over already. Like,
just saying.
I don't even think Brad was born yet. Like, Loki, I don't know. Iverson had the short hair, dude, the rookie year. Just,
oh, yeah. Ooh. Game changer. I think to me.
Am I too early?
No. Well, I don't know, man. It's just so hard to know with these guys until they're done. That's why I kind of like DK's rule, is where you got to be retired to be on the Rushmore, because it makes it a little easier
when making the decision. Because if that's the case, then for sure, I guess it has to be Suggs.
It's got to be, because who's really in competition? It's
I don't know. I mean,
Tucker.
There's like Jamal Lewis.
No.
I'm just trying to think of some names that were just impactful players.
I mean, Derek Mason would be, but no. I mean, see, I still look at Derek Mason as a Titan. Like, I mean, he was a great Raven. Yeah. But I put
Jamal ahead of Derek, though, right?
Yeah, but again, Jamal spent a lot of time in Cleveland, bro.
Yeah, but he did so much here, dude.
He did. I think to me, it's Lewis, Reed, Ogden, and Suggs, and the first name off if and when Lamar continues to be, on this kind of, ascension that he's been on. I take Ogden off, bro.
That is blasphemy, my friend.
I take him off because I can't take Suggs off. Suggs, to me, think about what he meant for the fan base, the rivalries, what he added. Ogden was a great, great player, but he didn't add anything of that extra stuff like all three of these guys.
Now, in their prime, if you had to add one person to our team.
I'm adding Suggs right now. Not even questioning it. First of all, we need help at edge, brother. Ronnie's healthy.
As I was asking that question, I'm like, I know he's going to say this.
That's right.
I know he's going to say this, but like, context aside, could you imagine how much safer you would feel for our most valuable asset, Lamar Jackson, if J.O. was his left tackle?
No, that's true. That's a fact. I mean, he'd feel a lot better. And then look, we could let Ronnie go over to the right side.
Yeah,
right?
Man.
Start over there, Ronnie.
Yeah, just boot him. I don't know.
Oh, man, bringing up BJ Sams, bro. That's a throwback name,
Don
C. That is
a throwback. I saw a guy with a Kelly Gregg jersey the other day when I was running through the harbor. I was like, respect
bro.
Dude.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, man. What, and then what about Yonda?
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
I love me some Marshall Yonda.
Yeah,
bro.
Man.
He's... But again, I just can't do it, dude. I can't take him over Suggs, dude. I can't do it. Sizz was first of all, 120 some sacks is ridiculous. Like, the consistency, the year one production. Remember, as a rookie, what do you have, 12 sacks as a rookie?
Yeah.
I mean, you'd have been eating the microphone cover, Jimbo.
Dude, I wouldn't have made that bet.
Drafting the guy who broke the sack record, yeah. I wouldn't think you'd make that.
You know why I wouldn't have made that bet, Glenn?
Why's that?
What did you say the other day about, who are we talking about? And you were like, he fills out his pants, bro. Like, who was that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dang it.
I know we were talking about McCary does not. McCary does not.
When we talk about
a baggy
Falele
ass. Probably Falele or Ben Cleveland.
Dude. One of those Terrell guys. Suggs coming in. Terrell Suggs is one of the rare players that, like, 1 year out of high school probably had the physical maturity to, like, survive in the NFL.
Yeah.
Like Adrian Peterson type physicality as far as, you know, what they were as physical specimens, right? Like.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're
right. No way I would have bet against that backside.
No. Hey, I would bet. Yeah. He was a well put together athlete.
No doubt, dude.
Hold on. Somebody's ready to argue Stover. But not over JT, though.
Yeah, no chance.
He's not even the greatest in this position.
And Billy Condit.
Oh, Billy C, bruh. Wide, was it wide left? Was it wide left? I think it was wide left. Yeah, that kick was wide left. But he's right, though. I mean, Black Daniels is right. You just get it inside of 40, Stover ain't missing. Now, if it's over 50, they might not even try it.
Right.
But if it's under 40, it's a guarantee. But so is JT. I don't think he's missed one under 40. And you know, I can't even remember. It's been quite some time. Looks like we're getting, let's see, Tez will be joining us here soon, guys. So just be patient.
The only thing I was going to say is I think this is kind of the thing. It's how it goes. You have like honorable mentions and we kind of talked about this. Haloti Ngata played so much of his career other places. Not so much, but too much of it to where like.
How many years did he play elsewhere? Was it two or three?
Oh, I think it was like, I don't know. I'm always wrong about this stuff, but he had at least two in Detroit.
Yeah.
And then he went to the Eagles.
Yeah, he did. Maybe it was more than I was remembering. I only thought it was two or three, but.
Haloti was so good, though.
Oh my God. So good, dude.
I mean.
Don't bring up Villanueva, Brad. Come on now. Alejandro! Jimmy thought he was going to be an All-Pro.
No, I did not. All-Pro, you stop it.
My man. Yeah, it's hilarious. Yeah. It's a tough one. It's a tough one.
All right, so I just want to know from the – I already know who they're going to pick. But, chat, whose do you like better? Glenn, give us – you're four again.
What do you mean you already knew who they're going to pick? I picked Lewis, Reed, Ogden, and Suggs.
Okay. And so the demographics of our chat, will, as far as age-wise, will come out very quickly because I went with Suggs, Ray, Ed, and Lamar. So I feel like if the chat leans younger, they're going to take mine. If the chat leans closer to our age and up, they're going to take yours.
We're going to find out.
Yeah, so let us know if anybody feels compelled to contribute. Let us know.
So is it Lamar versus Suggs right now?
Basically. Yeah, I mean, that's what it is. But I think it's funny, Brad, because I was just about to say this. What about your four worst Ravens of all time? Like, Billy Cundiff's on that list for me. I don't even care. Lee Evans is on that list for me.
Earl Thomas has got to be on the list.
Earl Thomas, that's another good one.
He punched a teammate.
What about Travis Taylor? But he had some
he had some moments.
Yeah, but it's just not compared to what he was supposed to be, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, he's a first round pick, and
Matt Elam. Oh,
yeah, Matt Elam. Breshad Perriman is up
Breshad Perriman. It just keeps getting bad.
There's some bad.
Who
ones
was
up
the
there.
Second round kid? Sergio or something? He like fell down some stairs or something.
Sergio Kendall. Yeah.
Oh, terrible.
Forgot about him. Now I like Fabian. Maybe it's just because he was so fast. He was Fabian Washington. He was a cornerback. He was like a top 10 pick when he got hit. I think the Raiders, a classic Raiders pick where he was like crazy fast but skinny. Sergio Kendall's got to be up there because he never did anything. Like he never played. He had the injury and that's it. Shout out to my nephew. Tyler says, I love Sizzle. Only reason it's got to be him gone is Ed Reed and J.O. may or may not be the best ever. Sizzle is top 10, probably five in Edge. But Lamar is modern day Peyton. Ain't saying he's going to be on. He's got to be on. But so it's Ed, Ray, J.O. But so who's your fourth?
He's saying Lamar's modern day Peyton. Ain't saying he's got to be on. But
hold on. Let me ask you guys both this. Is Lamar top five at his position?
Yes.
Ever?
Oh, I mean, not right now.
Sizzle, he just said his top five in Edge.
Yes, that's true, but his career is over.
So then we're exactly. But we don't know. I mean, we think, but we don't know what Lamar's future has
in
store.
So if Lamar retired right now, is he a Hall of Famer?
Probably because of his two, but he's not. Is he a first ballot?
Is Suggs a first ballot?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I guess he's a first ballot.
Hell yeah.
It doesn't get much better.
I mean, what did he not do? He won defensive player
there's
of the year.
There's some projecting there for Lamar.
Exactly. That's all my only point.
You know, but I already think that Lamar, from a macro perspective, has just changed football. Like, it's just different. Football will look different forever for years to come because of the
race. It's hard to change the game from the edge. I mean, Lawrence Taylor's the only one I've ever heard accused of doing so. There's no one else. It's like, Damn. I don't know. We got to wait until Lamar's retired. I got to agree with DK. That should be a rule.
That's fair. Well, dude, Brad brought Kyle Bowler, dude.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
I did see Kyle Bowler make a fourth quarter comeback before in person. So I'm just saying he's done something. Like Sergio Kendall's perfect because, I mean, not necessarily his fault. He fell down some steps and cracked his head, but he literally never did anything and was a second round pick. Like Right. Nothing. Didn't even like practice.
I feel like we got some bad ones in the second round, don't we?
Second round's not been kind. I mean, David Ajabo is a pretty recent example of it not being kind to us.
Yeah.
Which is probably why Eric DaCosta traded his second round.
He's like, F it. I can't do this anyway. Might as well.
I'll take him. Now, are we only counting draft picks? Because signees, like Little Trev brings up Le'Veon Bell. To me, if we're counting those, it's got to be Earl Thomas is the top of the list because he just.
But at the same time, Earl Thomas was a Pro Bowler. He was a Pro Bowler here, dude, and he cracked Mason Rudolph.
And he did have, like, 7 picks or something 1 year for us or something crazy.
Yeah, I think he did, dude. I just, like, he rearranged Mason. He, like, lowered Mason Rudolph's IQ.
He did wreck his ass.
I think now permanently Mason Rudolph has to get naked to count to 21. Like, permanently for the rest of his life.
Well, between that and Myles Garrett beating him over the head with his own helmet.
Cracked him senseless.
There's that, too. Oh, yeah, Todd Heap is up there. Todd Heap's another one up there.
Got to get an honorable mention. I mean, Todd, far as not worse, but.
Yeah, Evans is definitely on the list.
Oh, dude. I think if I saw Lee Evans, I wouldn't even ask him to be on the show.
If I saw Lee Evans walking down the street, whatever he's holding, I'm slapping it out of his hands. He'd be holding a bag of groceries. I'm slapping.
He's got his newborn baby in his hands.
I'm slapping him, baby, right out of his hands. I'm like, hold on to it next time.
Oh my gosh, dude. Freaking Lee Evans, man.
Don C says, great show, guys. Yep, it's that time of year. Come on, training camp. Yes, it is the time of year where we talk Ravens Rushmore. Okay, Don C, it is exactly that time of year. You are so right.
Dude, Lil Trent brings up Miles Boykin, too.
Oh yeah, Miles Boykin is another good one because he was a higher pick. Was he a third rounder? And never, I mean, his biggest claim to fame here was his downfield blocking, which is not what you want to have. Yeah, Mike Wallace. But Mike Wallace had some moments.
Dude, remember that slant against the Steelers?
Where he
took it to the house.
Yeah, he had moments. So I got to give him a little bit of credit.
Yeah, him and Joe had one good year here, right?
Like, oh, Ryan Grant. That's a good one, Brad. How long was he here? A minute? Like, wasn't there like a con? He signed him, and then they're like, nah, he didn't pass the physical. Get him out of here.
The wide receiver from the Commanders, right?
I think it was the Colts.
No, I think he ended up signing with the Colts.
Oh, he ended up going to the Colts. You're right. After
they're like, you can have him.
And remember, the deal was way too much money. We were like, what the hell? Way too much
money.
It was one of the weirder deals, and I'm glad that whatever popped up.
The way out of that one, boy.
I think something popped up during the physical. I don't think anything was there. I think they were like, you gave him how much money?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, because then he went on to sign with no problem.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and then we signed someone else who was better. I can't remember, but we used that money elsewhere and got a much better player.
Dude, Campanaro.
Oh, little Campanaro. I wonder what he's up to these days.
I'm sure.
I mean, he.
I had a friend that went to high school with him, and I heard some stories about Campanaro, boy.
Really? I know he's a local guy.
Yeah. I mean, look, we're all in high school once, right? Like, I'm not going to knock the kid. He's a high school kid. But jeez, always.
I've had some moments throughout high school.
Yeah, I'm glad social media was not as big of a thing.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my goodness. Nowadays, it would be a whole different world for some of the players that we grew up loving. John Brown, you're right. It was John Brown after that. You're right. See, now, come on now. I liked Kerry Williams, man. I liked Kerry Williams before. Come on, little Trev. Kerry Williams. Stoney Case. Stop it, Don C.
There's been some bad ones.
Lightning is going to strike twice in a row. Yeah, I hope so. I hope Tez can kind of go in the same footsteps as what we saw from Zay last year. Yeah, Kerry Williams was a solid player. He wasn't perfect, but he was solid.
Yeah. Matt Schaub.
Oh, that's right, dude. He did spend
That was the year when we had what's his face, right? Gary Kubiak, so he came in to back up Joe, am I right?
It makes sense because he was in his system for all the years. Yeah.
Man, shop. Dude, Kubiak, I'm sure there is. Do you think there's another OC that's made mediocre people so much money as Gary Kubiak?
The Shanahans.
Oh, well, he's a part of that tree, right?
Exactly. Because he's off the Shanahan tree. But
what's his face? Who was Terrell Davis?
Dude, put him in a normal system, he's average at best.
Wild to think about, right? Clinton Portis.
I mean, look what we did to Justin Forsett.
Right?
He was a backup.
Clinton made how much money from the Redskins? And did
They traded him for freaking Champ Bailey, dude.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he did basically nothing, right?
Dude, Champ Bailey had one of the greatest seasons I've ever... Like, if you look up Champ's greatest season, he gave up like 3 catches all year. And it was like 18 yards. And he guarded the number one receiver on every team. Like, that guy was crazy.
He just got old real fast. Not real fast, actually. He was late as Kirby. Dude, Torrey Smith.
Oh, he was legendary.
That game. Well, I mean, you remember that game he caught the 2 touchdowns over Champ Bailey?
Well, he was old then. This was an old champ.
Right, this was an old champ.
Yeah, yeah. Not
he was a runner up at that point, not a champ.
Hold on now, Tyler. Don't be talking up Terrell Davis like it wasn't Elway was the reason. Okay.
Yeah.
That system.
Yeah, and there's some people backs. I definitely disagree with on this. Dude, Chris McAllister, if you're talking about worst, was a monster to me.
Yeah,
Chris,
he's one
you
of
could
best.
Lisa, you could probably be talking about like as far as best, but Chris was a monster.
This is gonna be. Let's see. Look up the. Okay, I get it, but I'm just saying, if you put Terrell Davis in any other system. That system made running backs. Yeah,
no, you're right.
Any running back got 1,000. Oh, yeah, most underrated. I like that. Jared Johnson's a good one.
Yeah, Jared Johnson, big time, dude. I'm trying to think most underrated Ravens. I mean, it's crazy to think. I still think you have to put Marshall Yanda in there. I don't think he gets the love. Like,
yeah, you could probably argue a lot of linemen in the underrated category. But if it's not linemen, Who is more a more underrated guy in history?
Dwayne Starks.
Yeah, nobody ever talks about Dwayne. Oh, man. Ladarius Webb had a stretch here that was pretty fantastic for a stretch. Yeah. But he's just a smaller guy. He got hurt.
Yeah, got a little slow because he was quick.
Yeah, he was. And just would stick his head right in there. Had no problem helping against on the run game.
Yeah.
Loved that guy, man. Loved his accent. Loved listening to any time he talked to the media. It was just classic.
I don't know if Jacoby's underrated. I think Jacoby gets his love.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Kelly Gregg's a good one. Didn't you say, Glenn, he's still like top five in tackles here?
He's top five in tackles from a D-tackle position.
Which is insane. Like, he could have played here for 25 years. He shouldn't be top five in tackles theoretically, right? Like,
those guys are block eaters. Like, they're not guys that actually tackle the running back. Like,
I was thinking about Kelly Gregg the other day. Check this out, Glenn. Ooh, so
Peter Bulwer's a good one, Kevin.
That is a good one. Dude, that guy, if he were in the dark ages, he wouldn't even have to have a helmet. Like in battle. You remember that forehead, dude?
Yeah, yeah. He could take some hits. Let me see here.
Thing was wild.
I'm kind of fear. Apparently he has a Toyota dealership now because that's what pops up. Peter Bulwer.
Oh, does he? I'm not surprised.
I think he has a Toyota dealership. I'm just trying to pull up his career stats because I'm pretty sure he's well north of 100 sacks as well. Oh, no, he isn't. Wow, 70 sacks for his career.
Oh, there he is. Okay, cool.
That shocks me. I would have not guessed.
How long did he play, though?
Let's see. He played from 97 to 05. Oh, yeah, not as many years. Yeah, that's kind of surprising. Kind of came in the league late, was 23.
Yeah, I was going to say, and I mean, that the physicality of that game back then was ridiculous.
By the way,
I mean,
rookie of the year.
Yeah. No, Peter was a monster. You know who's that was? Peter Bulwer was Craig's dude. Loved himself some Peter Bulwer. But dude, I was thinking about Kelly Gregg the other day.
He had 9 sacks, by the way. Oh, no, 2.5 sacks. I'm sorry.
I was thinking about Kelly Gregg the other day because I was trying to keep my son from leaving his room. And he literally went under my arm and ran past me. And I was like, dude, this is Kelly Gregg's signature move. He's so short and stout. He just whoop.
Get up, you know, get up under the arms.
That's right, man. I was like, are you kidding me right now? You really just did that, Henry. Love that. You just like 1-2'd me and scoot right past me. Like, dude, come on.
That's right.
Yeah. But well, without any further ado, let's do this thing. Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's welcome our guest, one of the newest Ravens. Here is a 4th-round draft pick out of North Carolina. New Ravens wide receiver, Devontaez Walker, joins the show. Devontaez, thank you so much for joining us, sir.
No problem. I appreciate y'all having me. For sure.
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
Man. How are you doing?
I'm good. How y'all doing?
Doing good, man. Doing good.
Yeah, we certainly appreciate your time. I know you're probably counting down the days. What is it, 16, 18 days until camp, if I remember correctly, for the rookies? That's right. Yeah. Big time, big time. But, hey, I want to ask about your college career real quick, if I could. I know you started your college days in 2021 at Kent State, ultimately found your way to North Carolina in 2023. But you had some eligibility issues at North Carolina when you first arrived that took a couple games to clear up. What was that experience like going from Kent State to North Carolina and having to deal with all those eligibility issues?
I mean, personally, I wasn't like a good experience, like all that, you know, getting denied, things like that, having to, you know, do scout team, you know, watching teammates go out there and play and stuff. It wasn't a great feeling, but I say that's what, you know, kept me going every day, showing up to practice still, even though I wasn't playing and stuff like that. The transition wasn't too bad. You know, everyone was great to me when I got there, so it was a good spot.
That is awesome. Now, I want to talk about, you know, you talk about transitions. I want to talk about your transition from now college into the pros, right? Like, what was your first experience? You had opportunity to get around the team a little bit, be around some of the vets along with your other members of your rookie class. What was that like as far as the players, also the coaches, and the whole vibe, man? How was it?
Right. It's good vibes around that facility, around the locker room. We got great vets on the team. In the receiver room, got players like Nelson Aguilar and Zay. They kind of took all the rookie receivers under their wing. They've been nothing but good to us. And like I said, it's just a good vibe around the facility. Everybody respects one another. It shows when we're on the field competing and working out of the weight room, pretty much anywhere in the facility. It's a good organization.
Yeah, for sure. And now, what was the difference when you were there with all the young guys, all the rookies, and then come OTAs, the veterans arrive? Was there a change once the veterans arrived, whether it's the atmosphere, the speed? Was there any difference once they got there?
I'd say probably practice intensity. Like, you can, and I incorporate speed into that as well. Like, you can see the difference when the vet defense is out there versus going against like the straight rookie defense. Like, it was a huge difference. Like, you see like how the communication and like how fast they move from one place to another and things like that. That's probably was the biggest difference for me. Just seeing, you know, a change in the pace and intensity of everything.
I like that. Now, as soon as you got drafted, it didn't take long for people to start, you know, they start to compare your game to former Ravens and stuff like that. One of the fan favorites, of course, is Torrey Smith. And they compared your game a lot to his coming out of school, things like that. I think a lot of it has to do with the speed. Torrey was certainly, you know, he developed into a guy that could beat you in a multitude of ways. But what stood out at the beginning of him coming out of college was his speed. And I think a lot of that was the same for you. But is there a specific guy or a number of players in the league that you kind of model your game after? That you are watching tape on to try and take a thing or two from?
It's a lot of guys I like in the league, but like I mentioned before, a lot of Ravens fans not gonna like it, but AJ Green was one of the guys I looked up to while he was at Georgia and when he went to Cincinnati. Like, he's a guy who can, you know, he can beat you over top. Not only that, he can, you know, high point the ball very well. His game kind of grew over his time in the league. Like, you can see all the underneath stuff. Him start to develop all the underneath stuff and things like that. Pretty much everything he did, I tried to model my game after a little bit. And that's how my game kind of shaped up from what I've seen. So he's somebody I definitely looked up to. I liked a lot of, like, those bigger guys, Calvin Johnson, Randy Moss. That's how kind of how I saw my game a little bit coming up. So those were kind of guys I mainly watched. Guys now, I like Justin Jefferson. I feel like I can get my skill set like that at some point. I feel like I got that in my bag. Stephon Diggs. Those are like the two main guys I like right now. So the kind of guys I watch right now.
Nice. And I tell you what, there might be Ravens fans that don't like you using AJ Green as a comparison, but when he was on the open market, older, you know, later on in his career, there wasn't a single Ravens fan who would have been against us signing him.
Oh, no, sure. I wouldn't be against it.
Yeah. So, yeah, that, I mean, that's a, and
he
I
just heard some feelings here, man. He heard some feelings here. He's too damn good,
that's
man.
That's what I've heard. And that's what I've seen.
So good.
Just throw it up to AJ. He'll go get it. But, you know, one thing when I was watching over the tape after you got taken by the Ravens, Tez, is something that I pointed out and I kept putting notes down is that, and this might be something that comes natural to you and you may not even do it as, like, you might not even think about it. It just happens. It looks to me like you have late hands when the ball is in the air. Like, it doesn't look like your hands come up to alert, because a lot of times the defender is waiting for your hands to know that it's their time to react. To me, one of the things that was special about your game is your late hands. It's like your hands didn't start to come up until that ball was pretty much in the breadbasket. Is that something you thought about, something you've worked on, or is that just something that came naturally to you?
That's just something that comes natural. I feel like that's just like me just really trying to judge and like try to see how I'm going to catch it. Like, like really deciding right before the ball gets there how I'm going to catch it. So I feel like that's where it comes from. But that's just something that's always came natural for me.
Nice. All right. So we had Dayton Wade on here last week. Mm-hmm. We asked him about the OC. Now, we love Todd Monken. And one of the things we love about Todd is his swag.
Right.
All right. So talk to us a little bit about what your experience has been like with Todd. We'd love to know a little bit more about him through your eyes, man.
I like him a lot. Like, you know, the energy he brings in the meetings and we on the field. But, I'll say he's like, he likes what he likes. So, like, if it looks wrong, like, he ain't gonna be your favorite coach. I'll put it like that, you know. He'll let you have it. But I like Coach Monk, and what I've always liked about him, even when I went against him, when he was the OC at Georgia, what I saw from him, like, he puts the balls in, you know, those playmakers' hands, like the guys he feel like he can rely on. Like, he makes sure he gets those guys into the game plan and gets the ball. And that's what I liked about him. As soon as I got that Ravens call, saw he's the OC, that was like the first thing that hit my mind. Then watching the Ravens last year, players like Zay, Keaton, players like that, just getting the ball in their hands. Like I can see, like he's a believer in those big time playmakers.
No, I agree with that 100%. If Monken likes what you can do with the football, he is going to absolutely find ways to get you the ball. We saw it early on last year, Glenn. I mean, there would be plays where Zay would make a 20, 30-yard, relatively intermediate to long catch, and you're like, all right, he's a little gassed.
Yeah, Among get him out like, of the game. Give him
yeah, and Monken's like, nope, we're going right back to him. Right back next to him. Play, screen pass.
Right back to him.
Like, and it's like, yeah, man. So if he likes it, you know, and he wants to see more of it. Absolutely. I agree with you there. So
Sean says, unless you're a running back. Come on now, Sean. Come on now, Sean. He gives the ball to the running back. Okay.
Hey, look, he liked Justice Hill. Justice Hill had one heck of a year last year.
No, he did.
We definitely probably won't get a ball to running backs this year. We have one of the best, if not the best, running back room.
What was it like meeting Derrick Henry?
Is he
huge?
Yeah, dog, it's crazy. Like his arms, like his triceps look crazy, but like he don't talk as much as I thought he would. Like he kind of stayed himself. He pretty quiet. He kind of leave me hanging a little bit. Like one of us do something, I stick my arm out there. He kind of walk past it.
No,
I think he don't see it, but I don't know. But he real cool. So, I mean, we'll get it one day.
Hey, dude, left you hanging. That's maybe doesn't he have the tint on his visor? Maybe he didn't see, Tez.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't know.
He could be the type of player that's just so in his own head about the play.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
I kind of leave him alone though. I don't want him to get him. he's too big to be getting him. Yeah. So yeah.
So what was it, intern Brad, he brings up a good question. He wants to know, what was it like working with Drake May back in UNC? Because there's a lot of talk about him and what he's looked like in camp. What's your quick little scouting report on your former quarterback?
Oh, yeah, nah, I love him to death. Like, he's one of those guys, like, you want him to take over the game. Like, he's one of those guys. It just comes out to him, like, when we were down or something, like it was no sweat. Like he just knew, like he just had that aura to him. Like you just knew we had a chance with him in the backfield.
So the Patriots shouldn't be concerned that he's the next Mitch Trubisky?
No. Okay. I mean, Mitch, I like Mitch a lot. Mitch gets a lot of criticism that he shouldn't get. But nah, Drake's going to be fine.
Nice. It's good to hear. It's good to hear, especially for the New England fans that might be listening, which I'm sure there isn't too many. But what's it like now that you got this time where, you know, training camp is 16, 18 days away? Is it something where at the end of the last OTAs, did you and the coaches sit down and come up with some sort of game plan of what you're going to be working on in this next couple of weeks? Or is this, you know, I know what I got to get better at. I'm going to do it and be ready when camp comes.
A little bit of both. Like, I'm going in with a mindset. Like, I know, like you said, I know what I had to get better at. This is what I have to work on. This is what I do well. But I kind of sat down and talked with Coach Harves a little bit right after OTAs. He told me what I did well and then what I had to work on also. So it was a good conversation. He said I had a good spring. So, you know, I'm going to try to continue that momentum throughout camp and the season. Mm-hmm.
What's Harbaugh like, man?
He's cool. He's kind of the same. Don't really say much. You can tell, like, he's evaluating everything you do. But he's cool. I can tell he probably going to have that switch in camp. Like, he turns in, you know, he goes in coach mode. Like, every little thing, he's just going, like, he's going to be on top of it. But he's real cool. Like, I like him so far.
Nice. No, that's awesome. And then I want to ask you about Greg Lewis as well. You know, you got the wide receiver coach there, and we've heard some really great things about him. But is there anything that is – different about him as far as the way he's coaching or the technique or anything like that that makes it unique, or is it, you know, very similar to other coaches? Anything that really stands out to you as far as him and, you know, as a coach?
I'm gonna say he knows a lot of ball. Obviously, he played in the league. He's been coaching for a while. That's one thing that I noticed real fast. But I say, like, he lets you be you. You know, a lot of receiver coaches, you know, they want their room, everybody to kind of know how the same kind of bag. They'll teach you this, teach you that. But like him, like he'll give you the tools, but also like still be yourself and utilize those tools. Like he's not like, he don't want everybody the same. Like he lets Zay be Zay. He lets Bait be Bait. So, like, with me coming in, like, he lets me, you know, go out there and, like, do what I do best. That's pretty much how he looks at the room.
I like that.
I think that's pretty cool to hear. But what intern Brad, I think this was.
Right, hold on, really. Can I get to this real quick, Glenn, the super chat?
Oh, yeah. I like this.
Truth Bearer says, and I looked up these stats, and they were one of these games. I mean, both these games. One of these games was ridiculous. Todd probably lobbied for Devontae in the draft after he torched UGA a couple years ago.
Yeah. Do you remember all the games? Do you remember every game in your college career, specifically at UNC?
I do, yeah.
But you torched them when you were still at Kent State, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. This was like, I mean, dude, yeah. Like, so no knock on Kent State, but they had to know you were the guy that was getting the ball, and you still gave them the business, right?
Oh, nah, for sure. Nah, that game, I had that game circled as soon as I found out they was on the schedule that year.
I love that. I love
that. And look, being that you guys were Kent State and they are who they are, you guys had a respectable, like, you didn't get destroyed like a lot of people thought that you were.
I would like to see the spread on that game before it happened. Yeah.
I think the final score was like,
we were like, when we went to halftime, we in the locker room, like, oh, we ain't, like, you know, we ain't finna BS these. We finna beat them. Like, we ain't had that mindset, like, oh, it's UGA. We finna come out here, you know, get smacked, get our money and go home. Yeah. Like, we got the momentum going into the second half. Like, we finna beat number one team in the country. Like, we ain't finna, you know, lay down.
I love that. I like it when I see a guy have his biggest games in you know, the biggest and toughest competition. That's something I'm sure the Ravens were looking at when they went into the selection process. What were you as shocked as everyone that you went as far in the draft as you did? Because literally every single thing had you listed as top 100, top 80, mm-hmm. and you fall to where you do in the fourth round. Like, do you have any idea why that took place, and how is it that every draft thing had you in the top 100 and yet you fell to the fourth round?
I was a little shocked. I kind of thought maybe, you know, it was an experience, maybe because I started a little later than everybody else that season or something like that. I don't know exactly what it was, but when I seen it was the Ravens, like, I was excited. I had no idea it was gonna be the Ravens, but it made a lot of sense with what, you know, what they were looking for and things like that. And then it's a Super Bowl caliber team, so I wasn't too mad at that. So, but I was a little surprised, but I was happy at the end of the day. And I was blessed still. So, mm-hmm.
For sure. Now, Don C says, my friend wants to know from Tez, what veterans have helped you the most since being drafted, and who in practice do you like going against? Ball out, Tez. So yeah, what corner do you like, or defensive back do you like matching up against? And it sounds like you already kind of talked about it, but what vets have kind of taken you under their wing a little bit this year?
So the vet so far, I'm going to say the most has been Nelson Aguilar. He's taking me on his wing, giving me some of his, you know, ins and outs of the game. He done been in there for 10 years now. That's who I work with outside of the facility. So he's been real good to me. And then corners I like going against, definitely Nate. Went against him when he was at Clemson.
True.
Seeing majority during practice. He's been making me better since I've been here. I'm pretty sure I've been making him better. We've had our battle so far.
Who wins the foot race?
I've had this question earlier, actually. It depends. Give me a distance.
40. All right.
40, I'm going to get out to him.
100?
Like, his starts better. 100, that's me. 100, all day.
What about a mile?
Beyond 60 is me. You said who?
A mile.
A mile?
Come on, Jim. Only you race that long.
I probably got him in that too.
I like that.
I like it.
Yeah, Nate probably the favorite right now. I've had a lot of good battles with Tampa over OTAs.
Like, yeah,
he's probably the most physical out of all of them. So,
have you had a chance to go up against any of the vets like Brandon Stevens or anybody?
I went against Brandon like a couple times. Okay. I went against Jalen Lamar Davis. I went against him a lot during OTAs, and those are probably the main four. I didn't see the most.
Well, we got to ask you what it's like playing with Lamar. I mean, I'm sure you, like everyone else, saw his highlights, saw his MVPs. And
right.
So when you see you're going to play with Lamar, what was that like? And then when you finally got to catch passes from him, how's that been going?
Catching passes from him, good. Like, he can make every throw at any angle. But I'd say any throw is liable with him. So, like, if you got one, feel like you got one of them routes that's just, like, love for the love of the game route, it ain't that. So like you always gotta, you know, keep your head on the swivel with him because he can throw it up there when you least expect it. But it's been good. It's been good with him.
Yeah, man. I tell you what, it's, you know, I talked about Torrey Smith before, and I think that Ravens fans will remember this. I think it was the first or second preseason game, but Torrey had, but similar to your point, Torrey had one that went through his hands that I don't know if he's expecting or maybe not expecting it that hot, right? Mm-hmm. Coming off the quarterback's hands that hot, and it hit him in the helmet. And that was, I think, a learning lesson for Torrey. So to your point, you're absolutely right. Got to have a head on a swivel, right? Because
for sure,
Lamar Jackson can softball pitch that thing right into the breadbasket. It's absolutely amazing. The other thing I was wondering about was how you think, you know, you talked about Zay and you talked about Nelson, but this wide receiver room as a whole, like, how do you see yourself fitting in here, in playing complementary football? Like, what do you see as your role?
What are your goals, Tez?
Yeah.
This year.
So my goals this year right now, I'm going to say.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's fine. It's fine in my role. Whether that's, you know, special teams, being a key guy on offense, or just having, you know, that small role, even though I just have to get in for a play or two and take the top off. If that's my role, then that's what it is. That's really my main goal for this season.
I like that.
And are you going to be – you said you're working with Nelson. Is that in Florida? Or are you going to get a chance to link up with Lamar?
Yeah, and that's where I'm going. So I'm headed there Friday. I'll be there until really we come back.
Nice.
So I'll probably get over to
him. Love to hear that, man. I love to hear it, man. That's so cool because, you know, look, we love ourselves some Joe Flacco. But
– yeah, for sure.
But Joe, you look, Joe, he's 9-to-5er. He was a 9-to-5er, yeah. Tez. He'll come in. He'll be here 9-to-5, but he's going home at 5, Tez.
His wife's like, look, we got 5 kids at home.
We got 38 kids at home, Joe. Get your ass at home. Take the garbage out and change a diaper, okay?
No, but DK wants to know, are you doing any kick return work?
So I actually went to Coach Chris and told him, like, that's something I want to do. College, I was always on a depth chart for it, but was never thrown out there for it. But I feel like I could, that's something I've always wanted to do. Feel like I could, you know, hit those holes and, you know, take all of it out. So that's something I'd probably be Y'all probably see you in the preseason or something like that, hopefully.
Nice.
Yeah, I can't wait for the preseason.
I forgot to ask Dayton this, so I don't want to forget again.
Okay.
Is there something that – so actually I have a two-part question. Something that really sticks in your mind that was like most memorable about your sit-downs with other teams, you know, NFL teams, as far as like a really goofy question or a question that you were like, really? Like, you're going to ask me that? You know, when you're in interviews with teams, or just a really memorable moment that just will always stick with you forever?
Because, I mean, my meetings, it was like everybody was kind of asking the same things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think. That one, the Chargers receiver coach, he said something to me that kind of stuck out. I forgot exactly what he asked. He asked me something. Dang, I'm mad. I forgot it now.
A little crazy. Well, I mean, that's another hardball.
It wasn't crazy. It was one of them questions like why you do something or something like that. And it kind of stunned me a little bit. But nobody really asked me anything crazy pre-draft.
Do people ever ask you questions and you're like, dang, I'm surprised you know all this about me. We've never met before.
Nah, not really.
Nah, all right. You know, just curious.
Sometimes people come up, you know, very low, much lesser scale. But some people come up to me and Jimmy and they'll recognize us from the show and they'll just talk to it because they know so much about us, but we don't know
them.
Anything about, and they'll just bring a hug right on us out of nowhere. Yeah. Like, all right, I'm hugging a stranger. This is what we're doing. So yeah, it beats in the limelight.
That's probably the only thing that'll throw me up. Like, say, like you said, like people, like they'll come up to you and they just have normal conversation. Like they know who you are. And it's like, I don't know who you are. So it's like, it just feels awkward and weird.
Yeah, get used to it, Tez. It's gonna happen, Tez. In Baltimore, they're gonna put their arm around you like your old buddies, and they're just Ravens fans. You
know? What's up, dummy? That's a typical. That's a good thing. That means you're part of the crew, dude.
It's crazy because it happens all the time. Like now, I remember I went to go get an oil change to the little Vaseline thing, and the dude was like, "Don't I know you from somewhere?" I'm like, "Oh, what are you talking about? I've never seen you. I'm not even from it." And he's like, I definitely know you. Like, what's your name? And I told him my name. He's like, are you the rookie that played for the Ravens? And I'm just like, is that how y'all like greet people up here? Like, do y'all just be like, do I know yourself? I don't know. But yeah, I thought that was funny though.
Heck yeah. No, I tell you what, it's gonna be a more reoccurring thing, most certainly. The other question I was gonna ask. Not necessarily around that, but was around, oh man, I forgot my second question.
Let me ask him something. Tez, does it give you any extra juice knowing it's the Chiefs and the opening of the season? You're in that game. Nobody else is playing, but you and the Chiefs, like, does that add a little bit of extra juice knowing it's the defending champ and it's the first game of the NFL season?
It does, but it gave me a little more juice because they took a receiver before me.
Oh, I love that.
I like that. Anybody,
like I have, you know, I feel good about where I went, but it's like anybody that took a receiver before me, I have a chance to go against that team. It's like you know, it's on at that point. So,
are you like Draymond Green level where you know the whole list of guys taken before you, all the wide receivers?
I don't know about that level, but I think I can list everybody that went before me.
I like that, Glenn.
I love that. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, remember that names. Remember
like,
use them as
the type of girls like Amon Ra did. Like I ain't on that level, but like it's more of a like because I respect those guys. You know they did what they had to do. They like that, but it's more of like you know they took you and they didn't take me. So it's just like it's personal now.
I know that's right. Yeah, like they're good and I respect their game, but they ain't me.
And I respect it, but yeah, they ain't me.
That's so. It. That's what I say it in interviews all the time, Tez. I tell them, look, I know your other candidates. They're great candidates. I'm sure they're qualified. I'm sure they do a great job, but they ain't me. I'm gonna tell you that right now. And that's what I tell them in the interview, and they're like, I feel that. I'm like, I'm telling you,
that's pretty much what they gonna see. This is like they gonna see like, well, y'all took him.
That's right.
You know.
Mistakes were made, you know.
Yes, sir, man. I'll tell you what, we're super excited to see you out there. One thing's for sure is we're going to be out at camp, and we're going to be hooting and hollering. Glenn said it to Dayton. You know, we would appreciate if you, you know, don't pull a Derrick Henry on us.
Yeah,
you know,
I say this, Glenn from 410 Sports Talk. Don't act like you don't know me, Tez. I'm about your height. I'm a little skinnier. I'm a little skinnier than you, but I'm about your height. You
know what I mean? I got y'all for sure. I definitely come by.
That's awesome, man. Look, let's see. Black Daniel says Rollsville, North Carolina, rooting for you, Tez.
Nah, that's a bet for sure. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure having you on, Tez. We're gonna let you out of here, but guys, make sure you follow Tez. Let's see, what's the Twitter handle here? I thought it saw it at the bottom here pop up for a second.
It's my name.
Oh, is that it? Okay. What's the where can everybody find you on X and all that stuff, Tez?
So you just put in my name.
Devontae, oh, there you go.
Devontae Walker.
There you go, right there. Make sure you follow him. Appreciate your time, Tez. We'll be rooting for you like crazy this year, and hopefully we'll talk soon.
Nah, for sure. I appreciate y'all having me on here. Thank you.
Yeah, man. Yeah, have a great night.
You too. Thank you.
Right,
yeah, man.
Man, that's cool, man.
Hey, and I totally remember what I was gonna ask him.
Of course.
There's a spot in Charlotte called Pinkies.
Ah, okay.
And they have a white trash burger there.
Yeah, it's delicious. And it's
so good. Like,
what's
this
on
is
a
my...
white trash burger?
Huh?
What's on, like?
So if I remember it correctly, it was.
Can
like...
I guess?
Yeah.
All right. What would be on a white? hold on. Now. I'm white. I'm allowed to talk about this kind of stuff. Okay. White trash burger cereal.
No.
All right. Go ahead. Let's see.
I think if I remember correctly, onions was a big part of it. And then the other thing, I think the reason they called it white trash was because it had white, like American cheese, but it was white cheese.
What? That's it?
Yeah. I think if I'm not, so it was like, I remember it being heavy onion.
Oh, mozzarella.
Was it mozzarella? And it had now a white is, cheese.
I
it had a white cheese.
I can understand.
So
I mean, what makes it white trash? Like what?
No, those are the two things I remember about it. A white cheese and heavy American, but it was fire.
Okay.
And so anytime I talk to somebody in North Carolina, I'm curious if they go in there because it's kind of like a religious experience. The spot we went to is a little tiny spot, but it was dope, dude. If we end up down in Charlotte, we'll have to hit up Pinkies, dude, and get some.
Look, somebody's on here like cereal and a burger's wild. Here's why I said cereal. Okay, look, I was
because you're thinking
to think,
of literal like white trash.
Like, what is something that white people are known for eating? And I was trying to think because I was working with a bunch of people and they were like, you know, throwing out. And I think what we came up with is cereal and sandwiches. That's our thing. Cereal and sandwiches.
But what about like a hot dog, like a microwave hot dog?
But that's like an American thing. Every American has a hot dog. Like that's like what I like. People say, what's American food? To me, hot dog is American food. There's not many, but that. And look, I'm going to find out that hot dogs like actually.
Oh, it's certainly German. It's not American.
Oh, shit. You're right. Damn it.
Yeah.
Is there anything that's American?
The hamburger is.
It's from Germany. Yeah.
Yeah.
From Hamburg, Germany.
Yeah. You don't. Yeah.
But no, do we have anything?
No, I think the invention of McDonald's is American.
Yeah, but French fries.
But I mean, like the whole idea of it, like
fast food.
Yeah.
So that's what we invented. Damn it. That's all we got. Oh, barbecue. Yeah, Sidarian. That's what I thought. I said barbecue is American cuisine. And I love me some. I'll put a brisket up against anything anybody else has got. A well-done brisket.
Yep.
You can have your pizza, Italy. You can have, you know, all the other Hamburg, Germany, you can have it. You put a nice brisket in front of me, I'm knocking everything else out of the way. Okay. I put some ribs.
Dude, I do love some. I love some good barbecue sauce. Let me tell you what.
You know what I'm saying? I know Jimmy's like, you know, I don't eat no day.
No, but I tell you what, Glenn, I can choke down the nastiest veggie burger if you just give me a couple drops of barbecue sauce, baby. Like, it can be straight gross and expired. The other day, check this out. I was actually making a burger at the house, a veggie patty at the house, and I was getting my barbecue sauce out of the fridge. Expired 2022.
You still used it.
It used it. Tasted amazing. I didn't
zero hesitation. I knew you used
my
it.
My wife grabbed it and she saw like the top was gunky. She was like, this has got to be old. And she looked at it, she's like, this is 2 years old.
DK, and Jimmy's like, what?
Yeah, no, I didn't care. I mean, whatever. Yo,
DK is mind blown in the background. No, DK, you don't know how savage Jimmy can be when it comes to eating. Okay.
Dude, my dad literally believes, I've seen my dad peel the mold off of yogurt because he thinks it's like, it's already fermented. How much worse can it get?
Just take off the top layer.
Just like,
quit being a wimp.
Just like peeling off a cloth. Straight baptizing it, dude.
You know what I'm saying? Stir it up a little bit. It's good.
Nasty. Yeah, but that's what I came from, DK. So old barbecue sauce ain't scaring me, bro.
No, heck no. Plus, it's probably a better buy date, not really an expired
date.
Yeah,
it's all FDA driven. Let's
be
honest.
It's best when, okay? Yeah. That's all.
Yeah, what are these dates we're talking about here? Come on, dude. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, I hate that I forgot to ask him.
That's okay. We'll get him next time again. Yeah, we're gonna talk.
And hopefully by that point, he'll have some opportunity to hit up some Baltimore spots, dude.
Yeah, dude. Absolutely. I want to know his take on crabs because I don't know. Well, I guess in Carolinas, there's still you eat crabs down in Carolina, right?
They do a lot of crawfish.
So yeah, I don't even know if he's had crabs and if he knows how to open them.
I tell you what, though, Glenn. If I didn't live in Maryland, I think North Carolina is like a top four state for me.
Ah, big fan.
It's an incredible state, dude.
What's the number one state, dude, in your mind?
Like, if I could live in any state, me personally, like, no Maine. Budget.
Is Maine in your top five?
No, top. Maine's number two.
Okay.
But, dude, if no budget,
Alaska.
It has to be Southern California. I mean, it has to be California.
Yeah, but no but okay. Well, if you put the no budget, but the taxes, the property cost. Yeah.
And with everything else included, like being relatively reasonable, Maine is number one. Yeah.
Okay. But you haven't spent a lot of time in the winter up there.
No, no. Just the latest I've been there is late October.
Yeah, well, I need you to spend a week in January up there before you
My 74-year-old grandmother didn't come down for Thanksgiving because she was snowed in for 3 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll stick.
Dude, Glenn, guess how many freezers she had? Just take a guess.
How many freezers?
Freezers.
Well, I guess because you had to be prepared to be stuck for a very long time.
And she's on an island, right? Like,
oh, that's right.
Yeah. 74 years old.
I'm going to guess she had, well, because you make it a point, I'm going to say three freezers.
Three, but not like, no, like, you know, the ones.
The big, where it looks like a fridge?
No, it's like a top freezer. Open.
Like, oh, one of those big ones. Yeah.
You can put like bodies in, you know what I'm saying?
She's got four elk in her freezers.
No, but legitimately, three freezers.
That's nutty, bro.
Yeah, man.
It's a different world. But if you've never been to Maine, go there in the summer and you'll be absolutely blown away.
Yeah, and hate coming home.
Yeah, you really will, dude. Especially if you rent a house like we did last time. Holy shit.
It's the worst drive ever. It's so long.
But dude, that house was something.
Can I just turn around, please?
That house was magical.
Yeah. Holy. It sold.
Oh, and it was selling while we were in it.
Yeah. 800 plus. No big deal.
Yeah, a couple 800K. I mean, yeah, that's all. No big deal. You know. But no, it was a blast having Tez on. Dude, I think
he's an awesome kid, man.
Another
he
guy.
He does the AJ Green vibes, doesn't he?
He does, dude. Body type. You know, he's super confident. Even the way they kind of carry themselves.
Yeah, like pretty laid back, but also supremely confident.
Right. Just kind of that laid back. That's exactly. He's very similar. I know the O's are, dude. Jimbo.
Wait, what's going on with O's?
Dude, last five games.
I thought we were doing good.
I know, dude, we have, but we've lost five in a row and it's looking hard. And then injuries. Jimbo, I'm starting to freak out a little bit here about my O's, bro.
Well, don't worry. Training camp starts soon.
Come on, bro.
I mean,
come on, man.
Look, once the first week of preseason football turns on, what happens to baseball?
I'm still watching, Jimbo. I watch both. Okay.
Fair. You're committed.
I know you don't. I know you don't.
I don't.
I watch both, and I live and die, okay? And I tell you what, these last five games have been tough to watch. I mean, damn, Houston. Oh, God, I hate the cheating-ass Astros.
Yeah. Who do you hate worse, them or the Chiefs?
Oh, the Astros.
Really?
Dude, they were caught, like, doing an elaborate cheating scheme.
Oh, yeah.
Like, insanely elaborate. Like, buzzers on your chest.
How insecure are you about your game?
It's pathetic.
Like that you need to do that. It's like, come on, guys.
The audio of the beating of the trash can when a fastball is coming is shameful. Like, as much as I hate the Chiefs in similar fashion, like because the Patriots, because they were so good. Now the Patriots got caught cheating. But I don't look like that is to the level of what the Astros did. Like I guess filming of the practice is pretty bad. But like the deflating of the balls, okay. I think that should be allowed, by the way. Any team should have whatever PSI they want on their team ball. I don't give a damn. The blatant cheating, the scheme where the buzzers, the trash can beating, when they tried to rip off his jersey and he said, no, because they didn't see the buzzer. Yeah. But thank God the Yankees are losing. Yes. Thank you, Karen, for keeping me up to date.
There you go. I like that.
But this was a great night. Hopefully, we'll have some more Ravens coming up for you guys. We're going to keep trying like heck to keep bringing you guys cool, entertaining guests. And I think Tez was certainly qualified to do that. But that's it for us tonight, right, Jimbo?
That's it. Make sure you guys turn on notifications, hit the subscribe button if you haven't, if you're enjoying the content. And we will talk to you guys soon.
See you.
Next show, we got to do a
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit, credit to the people.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Save big money with help from Menards. Stay cool this summer with portable air conditioners from Polonis. Featuring multiple comfort settings and built-in thermostat, they're easy to install, come with a remote, and are available in several models suited to your specific cooling needs. Take control of your comfort with Polonis products at Menards. And check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.